And now chapter 14, the story of King Vena.
Gopi Janavallabha Giri Baradhati
Gopi Janavallabha.
Great sage Maitreya continued,
"O great hero Vidura, the great sages, headed by Bhrigu, were always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. When they saw that in the absence of King Anga there was no one to protect the interests of the people, they understood that without a ruler, the people would become independent and non-regulated. The great sages then called for the queen mother, Sunita, and with her permission, they installed Vena on the throne as master of the world. All the ministers, however, disagreed with this. It was already known that Vena was very severe and cruel. Therefore, as soon as all the thieves and rogues in the state heard of his ascendance to the royal throne, they became very much afraid of him. Indeed, they hid themselves here and there as rats hide themselves from snakes. When the king ascended to the throne, he became all-powerful with 8 kinds of opulences. Consequently, he became too proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus he began to insult great personalities. When he became overly blind due to his opulences, King Vena mounted a chariot and, like an uncontrolled elephant, began to travel through the kingdom, causing the sky and earth to tremble wherever he went. All the twice-born or Brahmins were forbidden henceforward to perform any sacrifice, and they were also forbidden to give charity or offer clarified butter. Thus King Vena sounded kettle drums throughout the countryside. In other words, he stopped all kinds of religious rituals. Therefore, all the great sages assembled together, and, after observing cruel Vena's atrocities, concluded that a great danger and catastrophe was approaching the people of the world. Thus, out of compassion, they began to talk amongst themselves, for they themselves were the performers of the sacrifices. When the great sages consulted one another, they saw that the people were in a dangerous position from both directions. When a fire blazes on both ends of a log, the ants in the middle are in a very dangerous situation. Similarly, at that time, the people in general were in a dangerous position due to an irresponsible king on one side and thieves and rogues on the other. Thinking to save the state from irregularity, the sages began to consider that it was due to a political crisis that they made Vena king, although he was not qualified. But alas, now the people were being disturbed by the king himself. Under such circumstances, how could the people be happy? The sages began to think within themselves. Because he was born from the womb of Sunita, King Vena is by nature very mischievous. Supporting this mischievous king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk. Now he has become a source of all difficulties. We appointed this Vena king of the state in order to give protection to the citizens. But now he has become the enemy of the citizens. Despite all these discrepancies, we should at once try to pacify him. By doing so, we may not be touched by the sinful results caused by him. Of course, we are completely aware of his mischievous nature. Yet, nevertheless, we enthrone Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned by the public, and we will join them. Thus, by our prowess, we shall burn him to ashes. The great sages, having thus decided, approached King Vena. Concealing their real anger, they pacified him with sweet words, and then spoke as follows.
Dear King, we have come to give you good advice. Kindly hear us with great attention. By doing so, your duration of life and your opulence, strength, and reputation will increase. Those who live according to religious principles, and who follow them by words, mind, body, and intelligence, are elevated to the heavenly kingdom, which is devoid of all miseries. Being thus rid of the material influence, they achieve unlimited happiness in life. O great hero, for this reason you should not be the cause of spoiling the spiritual life of the general populace. If their spiritual life is spoiled because of your activities, you will certainly fall down from your opulent and royal position. When the king protects the citizens from the disturbances of mischievous ministers, as well as from thieves and rogues, he can, by virtue of such pious activities, accept taxes given by his subjects. Thus a pious king can certainly enjoy himself in this world as well as in the life after death. The king is supposed to be pious, in whose state and cities the general populace strictly observes the system of 8 social orders of Varna and Ashram, and where all citizens engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their particular occupations. O noble one, if the king sees that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation and the supersoul within everyone, is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs. When he is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, presiding deities of different planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for his worship. Dear King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with the predominating deities, is the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices in all planets. The Supreme Lord is the sum total of the 3 Vedas, the owner of everything, and the ultimate goal of all austerity. Therefore, your countrymen should engage in performing various sacrifices for your elevation. Indeed, you should always direct them towards the offering of sacrifices. When all the Brahmins engage in performing sacrifices in your kingdom, all the demigods, who are plenary expansions of the Lord, will be very much satisfied by their activities and will give you your desired result. Therefore, O hero, do not stop the sacrificial performances. If you stop them, you will disrespect the demigods.
King Vena replied, "You are not at all experienced. It is very much regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and are accepting it as religious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband who maintains you and are searching after some paramour to worship. Those who, out of gross ignorance, do not worship the King, who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, experience happiness neither in this world nor in the world after death. You are so much devoted to the demigods, but who are they? Indeed, your affection for these demigods is exactly like the affection of an unchaste woman who neglects her married life and gives all attention to her paramour. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Vayu, the master of air, Yama, the superintendent of death, the sun god, the director of rainfall, Kuvera, the treasurer, the moon god, the predominating deity of the earth, Agni, the fire god, Varuna, the lord of waters, and all others who are great and competent to bestow benedictions or to curse, all abide in the body of the King. For this reason, the King is known as the reservoir of all demigods, who are simply parts and parcel of the King's body. For this reason, O Brahmins, you should abandon your envy of me, and by your ritualistic activities, you should worship me and offer me all paraphernalia. If you are intelligent, you should know that there is no personality superior to me who can accept the first oblations of all sacrifices. Thus the King, who became unintelligent due to his sinful life and deviation from the right path, became actually bereft of all good fortune. He could not accept the requests of the great sages, which the sages put before him with great respect. Therefore he was condemned. My dear Vidura, all good fortune unto you. The foolish King, who thought himself very learned, thus insulted the great sages, and the sages, being broken-hearted by the King's words, became very angry at him. All the great saintly sages immediately cried, "Kill him! Kill him! He is the most dreadful, sinful person. If he lives, he will certainly turn the whole world into ashes in no time. This impious, impudent man does not deserve to sit on the throne at all. He is so shameless that he even dared insult the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. But for King Vena, who is simply inauspicious, who would blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy one is awarded all kinds of fortune and opulence?" Great sages, thus manifesting their covert anger, immediately decided to kill the King. King Vena was already as good as dead due to his blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, without using any weapons, the sages killed King Vena simply by high-sounding words. After all the sages returned to their respective hermitages, the mother of King Vena, Sunita, became very much aggrieved because of her son's death. She decided to preserve the dead body of her son by the application of certain ingredients and by chanting mantras or mantra yogena. Once upon a time, the same saintly persons, after taking their bath in the river Sarasvati, began to perform their daily duties by offering oblations into the sacrificial fires. After this, sitting on the bank of the river, they began to talk about the transcendental person and his pastimes. In those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves. Since the king is dead, and since there is no protector in the world, misfortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves. When the great sages were carrying on their discussion in this way, they saw a dust storm arising from all directions. This storm was caused by the running of thieves and rogues who were engaged in plundering the citizens. Upon seeing the dust storm, the saintly persons could understand that there were a great deal of irregularities due to the death of King Vena. Without government, the state was devoid of law and order, and consequently, there was a great uprising of murderous thieves and rogues who were plundering the riches of the people in general. Although the great sages could subdue the disturbance by their powers, just as they could kill the king, they considered it improper on their part to do so. Thus, they did not attempt to stop the disturbances. The great sages began to think that although a Brahmin is peaceful and impartial because he is equal to everyone, it is still not his duty to neglect poor humans. By such neglect, a Brahmin's spiritual power diminishes, just as water kept in a cracked pot leaks out. The sages decided that the descendants of the family of the saintly King Anga should not be stopped, for in this family, the semen was very powerful, and the children were prone to become devotees of the Lord. After making a decision, the saintly persons and sages churned the thighs of the dead body of King Vena with great force, and according to a specific method. As a result of this churning, a dwarf-like person was born from King Vena's body. This person, born from King Vena's thighs, was named Bahuka, and his complexion was as black as a crow's. All the limbs of his body were very short, his arms and legs were short, and his jaws were large. His nose was flat, his eyes were reddish, and his hair copper-colored. He was very submissive and meek. And immediately after his birth, he bowed down and inquired, "Sirs, what shall I do?" The great sages replied, "Please sit down." Thus Nishada, the father of the Nishada race, was born. After his birth, he immediately took charge of all the resultant actions of King Vena's sinful activities. As such, this Nishada class are always engaged in sinful activities, like stealing, plundering, and hunting. Consequently, they are only allowed to live in the hills and forests.
Thus ends the 14th chapter of the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Story of King Vena.